The Book of Numbers, chapter 16. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the Israelites are in the midst of a 40-year wandering because of their rebellion against God, and there is no detailed account of those 40 years of wandering, but the Lord has recorded a few circumstances, a few incidences for us. And I suppose if you wanted to title this chapter, it could be titled More of the Same, because that's what it is. Just another example of rebellion against God and his authority. So we begin in chapter 16, verse 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said to them, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift you up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" So here's the deal. Korah and his group said, "God is our leader, Moses, not you. Who do you think you are?" He said, "We're all God's people. We're all holy. And that means we're all capable of being leaders." And that's where he was wrong. He was wrong to say they were all holy too, because he certainly was not. And Korah conveniently forgot that God had handpicked Moses as the leader. And to reject God's leader is to rebel against God. And so that's what he's doing. And he's going to find out. 4. And when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. Good old Moses. And his response was proof that Korah's accusations were baseless. Moses didn't care about his position. Moses cared about God. And he cared about the Israelites. If Moses was as arrogant as Korah, and as arrogant as Korah claimed, then he would have retaliated instead of praying. 5. And he spoke to Korah and to all his company, saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. Even him whom he has chosen will he cause to come near to him." And so God gave Moses a word for Korah while he was on his face praying. Tomorrow, God will make it clear to everyone who his leader is. And if you don't get it by now, you've got a problem, but he's gonna make it crystal clear. And you know, Aaron had done essentially the same thing Korah was doing, him and his sister Miriam. So he must have had a gut feeling that the next day would mean trouble for Korah and his friends. Verse 6, "This do, take you censers, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord does choose, he shall be holy. And you take too much upon you, you sons of Levi." Korah and the rebels had told Moses that he went too far in taking over the leadership of the people. Moses says, "No, you guys are the ones who have gone too far." 8. And Moses said to Korah, "Hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi. Seems it but a small thing to you that the God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation to minister to them? And he has brought you near to him and all your brethren, the sons of Levi, with you, and seek you the priesthood also? For which cause both you and all your company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him?" So Moses lectures Korah and the other Levites with him. God had exalted the Levites by giving them the job of caring for the tabernacle. But that wasn't good enough for them. They were not content to be where God called them. They wanted to be priests, like Aaron and his sons. Their anger was focused on Aaron, but in reality it was anger toward God. 12. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, which said, "We will not come up. Is it a small thing that you have brought us up out of the land of Egypt, or out of a land that flows with milk and honey, to kill us in the wilderness, except you make yourself altogether a prince over us? Moreover, you have not brought us into a land that flows with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up." You know, Korah wanted to usurp the religious leadership in Israel. His buddies Dathan and Abiram wanted the political leadership. And with unbelievably harsh language, Dathan refuses to come to the showdown. He said, "We trusted you in the past, but you didn't come through. Moses, it's your fault that we're not in the promised land." Dathan said, "You're not going to gouge out the eyes of these men. In other words, we're not blind to what you really are, Moses. We get you." Poor Moses, you know, he reminds me of some head coaches. It's his job as the head coach to lead the team to victory. But the team always loses because they refuse to run, block, and tackle. And the front office refuses to go after decent players. But the fans and the players blame the coach for their rotten performance. And it's like Moses was a coach in a bad situation. It wasn't Moses' fault that they didn't get into the land. It was the team's fault. They didn't run, block, and tackle. 15. And Moses was very angry and said to the Lord, "Respect not you, their offering. I have not taken one ass from them, neither have I hurt one of them." And remember, all the rebels, in addition to Moses and Aaron, are to bring an incense offering to the Lord. And God's going to, by these offerings, show who his leader is. And Moses reminds God that he wasn't in the ministry for personal gain. And on that basis, he asked God to reject the rebels. "Don't have respect unto their offerings, Lord." He prays about it. 16. And Moses said to Korah, "Be you and all your company before the Lord, you and they and Aaron tomorrow, and take every man his censer and put incense in them, and bring you before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, you also and Aaron, each of you his censer." And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell on their faces and said, "O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and we'll be angry with all the congregation?" And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the congregation, saying, get you up from the tabernacle, from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." And Moses rose up and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spoke to the congregation, saying, "Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest you be consumed in all their sins." So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. Korah and his 250 partners and Aaron present their incense offerings at the tabernacle. And God said, "Moses, Aaron, step back. because I'm going to wipe out this whole bunch. I'm going to destroy the entire nation. And then Moses prays that just the instigators, not the whole nation, would get it. You know, those people did not know how fortunate they were to have a godly man like Moses leading them. God listened to his prayers and told everyone to step back from the troublemakers. There was a man who could get through to God, huh? Moses. Because he was right with God. The prayers of a righteous man availeth much, the Bible says. 28. And Moses said, "Hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain to them, and they go down quick into the pit, or alive into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." So Moses tells everyone, this isn't between me and these rebels. This isn't an argument between us. This is between them and God. And Moses said, if I'm telling the truth, then the ground is going to swallow these rebels. And talk about putting your reputation on the line. But Moses wasn't worried, because he had heard from the Lord. 31. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground split asunder that was under them, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained to Korah and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. Well, God didn't waste any time, did he? As soon as Moses finished speaking, God struck. He backed up his man. How many chances did God give these people? There just was no excuse at all for not recognizing Moses as God's leader. Unfortunately, rebels cause problems, not just for themselves, but for a lot of people. So, thank God for his righteous judgment. Proverbs 29:1 says, a man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. People can't just keep on rebelling against God. You know, God says right is right and wrong is wrong. And these people are not the exception being judged by God like this. No, it's not always this quick. But nevertheless, they're not the exception. They are the rule. Someday all who rebel against Jesus will be swallowed by the fires of hell. 35. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense just that fast. 250 rebels brought incense before God, but God struck them fast and hard. And the smell of their burning flesh must have covered the incense that they brought. God made it clear. You mess with my leaders, and you're messing with me, and I'm going to destroy you. 36. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, that he take up the censers out of the burning, and scatter you the fire yonder, for they are hallowed. Interesting. Eleazar, the priest, the son of Aaron, he has the unpleasant job of rummaging through the charred bodies of the 250 rebels, but he needs to kick around the ashes until he finds the 250 censers. 38. The censers of these sinners against their own souls. Let them make them broad plates for a covering of the altar, for they offered them before the Lord. Therefore they are hallowed, and they shall be assigned to the children of Israel. In Scripture, things become holy when those things are offered to God, who is the Holy One. And so these 250 censers were holy, even though the ones who offered them to God were wicked. And that's why those censers had to be salvaged. 39. And Eleazar the priest took the brazen censers, wherewith they that were burned had offered. And they were made broad plates for a covering for the altar, to be a memorial to the children of Israel, that no stranger which is not of the seed of Aaron come near to offer incense before the Lord, that he be not as Korah and his company, as the Lord said to him by the hand of Moses. So the altar covering that was made from the bronze censers was a shining reminder of the Lord's wrath and its purpose. It wasn't just to remind people how tough God could be. It was to prevent people from making the same stupid mistake. 41. But on the morrow, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, "You have killed the people of the Lord." Accusing Moses and Aaron of being the source of the Israelites' problems would be laughable if it wasn't so sinful. I mean, this whole thing is like a crazy nightmare. One day after God wipes out 250 grumbling rebels, the entire population is at it once again. What do they think? Moses caused the fire to proceed from the tabernacle and kill the 250 rebels? How in the world did he do that? And how in the world did Moses open the ground and swallow Dathan, Korah, and Abiram? How'd that happen? Man, Moses, that was a pretty good trick, how you pulled that one off. How stupid can you be to accuse Moses of killing these people? It was God who executed them, and rightfully so. And they're going to be next for accusing God's leader again. Man, they just don't learn, do they? But isn't that true of us sometimes? We just don't learn as quickly as we should sometimes. In spite of God's wrath, God help us. 42. And it came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. And there he is again. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation, just as before. When God heard grumbling, he appears in the glory cloud. And of course, the average sinner would be shaking in their boots right about now. The average sinner caught in the act by the coming of God would hide under a rock. But these Israelites were not average sinners. I swear they were spiritually insane, and that's not an excuse. They're accountable. 44. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Get you up from among this congregation, that I may consume them, as in a moment." And they fell upon their faces. Moses again prays for his enemies. You know, they were already living under divine judgment, wandering in the wilderness for 40 years because they refused to go into the promised land, but they just continued to rebel. And honestly, it seems like they were getting worse, not better. They certainly deserved to die. And Moses knew that. He knew that better than anyone because he received the brunt of their rebellion. But just like Jesus, Moses sets aside his personal comfort and he prays for God's mercy to be on them. 46. And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a censer and put fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly to the congregation and make an atonement for them. For there is wrath gone off from the Lord. The plague is begun." And God wasn't bluffing. Judgment had already begun. In Scripture, incense is a symbol of prayer. So in a frantic attempt to stop the plague, Aaron offers incense to make amends for the people. 47. And Aaron took as Moses commanded and ran into the midst of the congregation, and behold, the plague was begun among the people. And he put on incense and made atonement for the people. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700, besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned to Moses to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. So Aaron the priest, he obeyed Moses, and he moved fast to intercede for the people, but God moved fast in judgment also. Aaron's offering of prayers, offering of incense, stopped the plague, but not before 14,700 people died. And what a tragedy, huh? What a waste. What a waste. These 14,700 people could have been enjoying life in the promised land if not for their rebellion. Thank God for his mercy, but boy, people better remember that his mercy and his grace does have a limit if one doesn't repent.